I believe we're recording. I feel like there should be a... There we go, we're recording. There's a, yeah, notification. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the last episode of this quote-unquote podcast that we're doing. I once again have Marge with me.
Hello!
Except, yeah, we're not in the studio anymore. We were in the studio for the first two, so this is a Teams meeting. It's significantly less cool. But here we are, and we're gonna.
It's the content that matters.
Yes, it's the content, not the. All of these headphones are very annoying, but we'll get through it. In the first episode of this, we talked about the topic, what it kind of means, how we looked at it. It's about if children should be exposed to large topics sooner or later in life, and what that can mean for them. And we talked about how large topics can be a very big thing. I mean, yeah, they're large topics, adult topics, mm-hmm. if that's easier to understand. They're a very big thing to introduce a child to, but at some point everyone will be introduced to these big topics that, like, are in our world. And we kind of talked about, like, yeah, when is a good time to talk about then, are there pros or cons to it happening earlier or later? And then the second episode, we talked about some arguments for both sides. That was kind of like where the real, like, grunt of the work was. We talked about, like, why is it good? Why is it bad? And what can you take from that? And I think if you just wanted to, like, get the main thing and have an opinion, that's where we talked about, like, the main things. Then third episode, where Marge, you were not there, I talked to someone who I talked to also in my research process. We talked a bit, it was kind of like an interview conversation. We talked about, we focused really on the trauma aspect of large topics and how they can be very traumatizing if not handled in the right way to children, because it's not like an obvious trauma, but seeing something or hearing something that you weren't meant to hear is a trauma, and we kind of talked about how that can be very defining. But we also talked about, because she was kind of leaning more towards how we should talk about big topics more, so we talked about how it is kind of necessary to talk about things and how you have to talk to children about certain things at some point anyway. And now here we are at the final episode to just kind of conclude, gather some of our thoughts.
Ideas.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, actually, I'm gonna ask you, Marge. It's weird mm-hmm. calling you Marge, because, like, remember, this is not her real name.
Yeah.
And I was thinking we could do, like, a name reveal, but I actually said your name.
People who listened to this podcast since episode one, you actually revealed it already.
Exactly. So I ruined the whole build up. I'm convinced that anyone who listened only wanted to know what your real name was, and here we are. Yeah, but
we can do a name reveal at the end.
Can do it. Oh, build up. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So, but for now, Marge.
Yeah.
What do you think on the topic? Like, your personal opinion. What do you think? Just kind of like, you look unprepared. Off the top of your head, do you think?
I think large topics should be introduced to. I think the age plays a large role. I do think large topics should be discussed between family members and their kids. I think, because again, I come from a family where we didn't necessarily talk about large topics, and I think that had actually quite a big impact on me and how I perceive the world. Part of introducing large topics as well is also, you know, also make sure that your child has the right information or also knows the right means to find that information. Because there are some large topics where it's, you know, better to hear from somebody else and to get a personal understanding of what it is rather than going online and researching about it.
Yeah, because that was something that everyone I talked to about said, that, you know, it also matters that it's usually your parents or someone, an adult who you trust, who tells you about these things. Because a lot of, especially nowadays, you can just go on Google a lot of things. I think that's what a lot of kids are doing. I say kids like mm-hmm. I'm an adult, like kids these days, but, cause remember, me and Marge are both 15.
Yes.
Yeah. For a day, cause tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah. My birthday is tomorrow.
Yay! but yeah, right now we're both, that's still, yeah, 16 is still like, I would say, yeah, you're still a kid at that point.
Yeah.
You're still definitely figuring things out. That's actually like right the cutoff for my age group, just because I think 16 is where people get really unpredictable in who they are as people, because it's a very unpredictable subject. But I think 16 is kind of like a cutoff. It's like at that mm-hmm. point, you're really on your own. You really have to be your own person. But
exactly.
Yeah, but since we're 15, we're kind of right on the edge of the target group. Kind of looking back, we do kind of. Because you could say, like, what can we really say as kids? But we do kind of have the perspective of mm-hmm. exactly the age group that I was looking at. And, yeah, large topics are definitely a weird thing because they're kind of inevitable. You have to, at some point, be introduced to things. And if you're not, then...
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know. You can't be not. You have to at some
yeah,
point.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And also something we talked about in episode 2, I believe, was the fact that in your teenage years and around the age of 16 and 15, that's when you start, actually having to form your own opinions and your own thoughts on, like, a lot of really abstract and deep topics. And I think it's really hard to do that while at the same time also understanding what that topic is, which is why, it's important, I think, pre-teen years also to have a good foundation and just like a good basic understanding of how society works and what those concepts mean within society, so you can form your own opinions.
Yeah, exactly. That's what really matters. And yeah, and sometimes children are exposed to large topics earlier than they should have been. Sometimes it's because their parents didn't think too much about maybe how they said something, or mm-hmm. they learned something at school or online or whatever. And when that happens, I think you have to talk to them. Mainly, I would say, I think that because I chose this topic because there have been times when like my parents told me something like very like something kind of heavy, and then it's kind of never really elaborated on it, and then it was just like mm-hmm. here you go, here's this information, take it. And it wasn't extremely productive because, because one thing about being introduced to a topic, it's also you have to, like, have the introduction to it. You have to understand, like you said, without knowing what the topic is, you can't really form a view around it. And if you're not really actually explained something and you don't actually mm-hmm. understand it, it's just this, like, thing that's there. And it can be very, like, daunting to have this, like, idea or this like concept right in front of you that you can't understand, but it's like there and you have to like deal with it. And
I mean, something you also said in episode 2, which is actually I think really comes in when talking about this topic, is that it's not a black and white thing. I mean, it's not like you either tell the child or you don't. I mean, there are varying degrees of how much you can explain to a child. Vocabulary and word choice, how you decide to do it, has a big impact on how it's received by the child. And it's not like if you were to talk to your child about like sexual assault and rape and stuff like that, it's not like you have to go and explain all the statistics of how damaging it is emotionally to people, or the statistics of how many cases of sexual assault occur in a country per week, but just understanding what it is, not necessarily how or when, that I think that's important.
I think you always have to open with what something mm-hmm. is, and then you can be like its effects, it's like where it happens. Yeah, like you said, I think you have to, it's a lot of care on how you explain a topic. And that's that's the main, this was like the main thing that we were kind of building up to, which is like the idea that the topic is, when to tell a child about a large topic, but actually a very big part of that is how you tell them. Because, yeah, like we said, it's a very unpredictable thing. You can learn about really, really heavy things or even see really, really heavy things when you're like five, and you can still turn out like, you know, a functional human being. Like, it didn't traumatize you because maybe you had the right foundation to build from that. Your parents then knew how to handle it. You talked about it, all those things. Or you could learn about a lot of things when you were like 10, so older, still quite young, but older, but you end up having a really hard time for a few years after that because you weren't told in the right way. Because a lot of it actually matters how you're told, not when you're told also. Which, when I say it now, sounds like I'm debunking the entire topic. Like, it doesn't even matter, but no, it matters when. But when you get to a point when, you know, a human being learns about something for the first time, it matters how they learn. And that's with everything. You know, you can learn really complicated things. I don't know, even like in math, you can learn something really difficult. And you might be too young, sure, to learn something like really advanced calculus at like 8. But, you know, if you're taught in the right way, okay, this is a really bad example, but yeah, if you're taught in the right way, you can
even
learn
what
really
it
young.
Is. What calculus and algebra.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's, math is a weird example, but yeah, even like, it can be, you can be too young in theory to know something, but if you're explained in the right way, if you have the right foundation, if you have the right, you know, idea behind what you're being told, then you can actually be fine. And I think that's a very important thing to remember, that if you have something, because I think, you know, you can probably carry it for a while. Everyone's very different, but it depends on the person. But if you carry something with you from, like, that you learned when you were younger and it was really heavy, or if you have a child or you know a child who knows something that's kind of messing with them, I think it's very important to remember that no one is, like, a lost cause the moment they get scared of something. Like, if you learn about something and it was really dark and it was heavy, or it maybe even wasn't like to other people, but to you, it really was. You're not like a lost cause. The moment you learn that, people can help you from then on. You can help people if they think that, you know, there's too much. Cause to learn something very young, like, I'll say it's from personal experience. I can't like act like I'm a professional, but can be like very scary because, you know, you don't always think about this. Like, I didn't think about it until right now, but kids are always like processing information. They're always learning things. And like, I just realized like how weird it is that things that like at like 15, like everyone knows, or like you just kind of know how like there are kids not that much younger than you, maybe like 5 years younger than you, who have no idea about some things you know, and how you think that's like weird and like, oh, shouldn't they know? And it's like, actually, they're quite young. They shouldn't maybe know. Or it's like weird how we don't realize it now, but there are so many things that you get introduced to for the first time. Like, yeah. I think like you forget that you were taught things. And so we don't always think about how that affected us or affects other people. But it's strange how we as people learn things and how we can sometimes learn things in the wrong way, and that can really affect us badly. Like, on another level, like, once again, I'm going with a math example for some reason, but I know that, like, I have a very bad relationship with mathematics because, and I think a large part of that was because when I was learning like math when I was 6 or 7, I was like maybe 8 or 9 is a better example. When I was like 8 or 9 and I was starting to do math, I would like ask my parents for help because like that's what usually you do as a kid. And my dad, who was very good at math, would usually get kind of angry with me. Because I couldn't, like, grasp it. Like, I kind of just couldn't get it as quickly as he thought I should. And then, so he'd, like, yell at me a lot of time. And, like, I always felt really bad by myself. So after that, I just got, like, really scared about asking for help with math. And then I kind of fell behind in some things, maybe not fell behind, but I always felt like I was completely lost in what was going on because I never asked for help. I never asked for clarification. And so I kind of had to like piece everything together. And as weird a metaphor as that is, or as weird a simile comparison as that is, it is kind of the same. Like if you feel like something was introduced to you in a very bad way for you, you're not going to want to know more about it. You're not going to want to ask anything else. And that's why it very much matters how you learn something, because it also shapes how much you want to keep learning. Like if it's something you didn't want to know, then it's still something you now know and you can continue to learn more about it. But not everyone wants to, because if it's introduced to you in a very bad way, you don't want to keep going. And that's a very key thing we have to work on, like that we don't end up as people who do not want to know more about the world we live in, because it's very important that everyone is aware of the world and how it is. And we need to, you know, make sure that we don't get to a point where we don't want to learn more. And that, I feel like that kind of divulged a bit, but that's kind of like, I think, where you have to kind of grasp the idea behind the topic. Like, it's one thing to be like, large topics with children, some people might be like, oh, that's kind of a champagne problem. Like, oh, some kids are a little scared because they learned something a little early. Some people might be like that, but I think that there is a very key idea behind the fact that, you know, it's about how we learn and how we learn things. Like, learning is one of the best things a human can do, because we soak up all this information and knowledge, and we can build from that, make things better, because we know we can synthesize everything and build from it. And you know, there's debate on how important logic is, you know, for like to build on it. But like, I, for example, I'm not like an extremely knowledgeable person, but I might like have good ideas or something. Like, you know, there's things like that. But you know, you do need some basis of knowledge to see things beyond what they are. And how we learn is a very big part of everything we do and how we build the world from here on out. And yeah, and that's kind of the, I think, thing behind this topic. How do we learn and how do we encourage learning and growth? Because we need to encourage those things properly in order to encourage, like, growth and learning of humanity, and that we can all
an evolution development,
that we can all be better members of society, or we can all be better people, we can all work better. That got a little, I think, like philosophical, a little very like we all need to, but yeah, I think it's think about how we learn, like crazy. I surprised myself, I just didn't realize how much I was thinking about this like the whole time. But yeah, and we did talk a bit about, both in episode 1 and 2, about, like, the like how we've noticed, like, people our age are, like, online, on social media, or wherever, that it's become very cool to not care, and it's also become very cool to just kind of not, it's become very kind of cool and, like, normal to not care about sure other people. Like, it's kind of become like a trend to be like a sociopath or something, but it's also it's also become kind of like a thing to be like, to have like no hope for humanity. Yeah, like, and I can say, like, as like a member of this generation, like part of the group I am speaking of, you know, it can get very, I don't know if it's just like us now, because, you know, I never hear like parents say that, oh yeah, it was just like that when we were your age. It's always like this new generation is so like dead inside or whatever. Like, I don't really know where it comes from. Maybe it's social media, or maybe the world is just kind of more documented, so we're exposed to more things now. So you could argue that, yeah, exposing kids to these things did this to us.
Yeah.
But what I'm kind of trying to say is that maybe seeing all these things has kind of like made us like this. But also, you know, if we are properly led out of that, like led out of this like funk we're in, then we can look at things in a more like, wow, things are really messed up now, or things are really weird. We should work on that. Because that's also a very important thing. Like, as the, I think the most current, I didn't want this to become like a generational thing, but I guess I kind of worked into that. I think the most current gen, the recent one is Gen Alpha or something.
Yeah.
It's from 2016 yeah. and on. And, I mean, not and on until some point, but, yeah, and they're like, it's 2021 now. So that's like, they're like 5 years old at this point. 5 year olds now are, 5 year olds that I know, or like that I've seen around, or like you hear about, are already like acting like 10 year olds, like in the sense of like what, like how independent they are online and how, what they know and stuff like that. And I do think that that can be a very big source of why a lot of kids now are feeling like such a burden. Cause like, I don't know if I want to, cause March, I can ask you if you like what's something that you find like very stressful now, or what's something that you can, I don't know if you want to say anything, but like.
Like stressful just in general?
Just, yeah, like what, cause I think when we talk to like people we know at school, like everyone's always like really stressed out.
Yeah.
And I've always wondered like, this would be very normal, but when I talk to like adults, then they're like, I wasn't this stressed out when I was your age, so I don't know what's wrong with you guys.
Yeah, I think honestly, I'm just gonna say, okay, I think the most I'm stressed about the most generic things. It's schoolwork, it's I guess struggle with identity and stuff, but honestly, I think another big contribution to everybody being so, you know, outwardly stressed is the fact that people, or like my classmates, which is not a bad thing, it's just how this generation works, almost like hypes you up to be more stressed. If that, like, it's almost like you're supposed to be stressed, you're supposed to vocally be stressed, you know. Sometimes I also just, I find myself over exaggerating how stressed I am because everybody else is so stressed. So we're all just one big group of stressed people. And I think, yeah, but honestly, it's just schoolwork. And then sometimes there's, you know, the days where you don't feel like that great emotionally, or you're having an existential crisis or something. I mean, there's, you throw those in there every few weeks. But yeah, I think it's really just schoolwork. And then also, this is our last year at this school. So, you know, our future, that's causing me a lot of anxiety at the moment. But yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's the main, I think that that's the main thing from like what I've discussed with other people. Like, we have like friends and classmates who don't particularly care that much about like schoolwork or their grades. Like, they want to pass, but they don't care that much, or like they don't like need to get the best grades. They just want to pass. And like, they're all really stressed out about school now. And like, they weren't really before, but like, now there's the final year at like the school that we are at, like, I just ended the sentence there. Then now it's this whole thing, like, the future is coming. We need to be great at everything. We need to get everything done now. We need to figure it all out now. And I guess, you know, everyone feels like that at some point. But like you said, there is kind of a big thing about being stressed out now. Like, it's almost like, not maybe a competition, but it's almost like, who is the most stressed out? Like,
yeah.
Like, when you're talking to your friends, like, about homework or all the schoolwork you have, like, you have 10 classes you need to do work from, and you're all there talking about how stressed out you are, and you're actually not that stressed. Like, you have it under control, or, like, you finished maybe half of them, and you have a plan for the other half. You feel, like, bad almost that you're not stressed. Like, am I doing it wrong? Like, am I not stressed enough? Like, it's become a thing. If you're not, if you're not stressed, you're not doing enough work, I think. And that's kind of this kind of...
Yeah, I think also in relation to that, I think it's also a trend to be kind of unorganized, if that makes, like, we're not unorganized, I guess, per se, but to, because it ties into the thing where you have to be numb and you have to be careless about everything. And I think that goes for schoolwork as well. And then that also ties into the fact that when you're more stressed out, you're doing more work, but it's because you're doing a lot of work in a shorter time frame. Because you're supposed to just be so flawlessly unorganized, if that makes any sense.
Exactly. It's become like this culture of being perfectly imperfect.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it started because, like, probably because of more the focus on social media and how, like, you can see all these other people your age. And before, you always kind of feel alone. And now you feel like everyone's kind of stressed out. Like, if you look, I think the most modern music made by, like, 15 to 18, 20-year-olds, I think that's actually a pretty good reflection. Like, the most, I don't know who the most, like, popular artists are now, but I feel like the generational mascots, I think, right now are, like, Billie Eilish and Olivia Rodrigo, probably. Like, that's who I'm seeing the most, like, people my age are going, like, these are, like, our spokespeople in music. And if you look at their music, it's very much just, like, I'm so sad and depressed, and life is just so much. And I think that says something that, like, that's what we're looking at going, that is my story right there. It's, you know, it's become, like, kind of a thing now that we're all so, like, stressed and upset about everything, that now you feel like if you're not doing it right. Like, this is what everyone else is going through. So if I'm not, then am I doing it right? And it's, like, so many of these variables are coming in. Like I can see so many things happening in the world. Like, I have my computer, I have my phone, I have my iPad. I can see it all happening. I hear about the news. It's, like, it's everywhere. Everything is so horrible. Everyone is so stressed out. Now, there's some weird economic crunch. I don't understand what economics are. I don't understand what money is. I don't understand what unemployment is. But I know that there's a crunch or something, and that money or whatever, I don't know. Yeah, yeah, I'm confused. I need money. Job. Yeah, yeah. That's, like, how the mind works at this point. It's, like, you don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that it's, like, something's going wrong. And that, I think that's the thing. You don't understand things like this. You don't even understand if things are bad. Like, everyone else just, like, adults, like, all the adults sound so stressed out about everything. So then you think you have to be, but you don't actually even understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's really confusing. Like, that was a very random, like, example. Like, I was just kind of going there. But, like, for example, things with, like, banks and, like, the economy. Like, everyone's always saying the economy or the Wall Street.
Yeah.
And politics. Yes.
Totally.
And so much politics. And the thing is that I can say I'm a very specific person. We're all very specific people. I cannot speak for everyone. But, like, me, for example, I don't really understand, like, what everyone's talking about when they're, like, oh, the money is, like, we're in debt to. Who are we in debt to? We're the world? I'm confused. Like, I never understand what's going on anymore. But it always sounds like it's really, really bad. And so, therefore, you can only grasp, like, very superficial ideas. Like, the money. It's hard to get money. I have to be the smartest person and make the most, get the best grades, and then I get the best job, and then I have the money. I'm good, right? Like, if you don't understand what's going on, if your parents don't tell you, or your schools don't tell you, or whatever, you have a very superficial idea of what you need. So, like, at this point, everyone thinks, I need to get the best grades and get the best job, because money is, like, so scarce right now, apparently, that I need to just, like, and I don't know, maybe that is actually exactly what's going on, but I'm guessing.
Yeah, and then at the same time, you're like, oh, this isn't how the world is supposed to be. I'm just conforming to society because this is how society works. It's like,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
And I think also, I just, going back to the numbness and the negative association to all the feelings you're supposed to feel, all the thoughts you're supposed to have, because this generation, like, does talk a lot about, like you said, you know, big topics, politics, economy, you know, all those things that are usually considered adult topics. It's only the negative impacts or the negative aspects people talk about when it comes to that, which really makes, you know, for people like us who, you know, and you said yourself that maybe you don't completely understand what everybody is talking about all the time. It makes the perspective and, like you said, the ideas you kind of grasp in those conversations very biased and very narrow. So, and that just it's like this cycle. It just contributes back to the trend of everything being negative and everything being numb and everything being just society being wrong, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think in this case, you could argue that, you know, it's better when we didn't know a lot of things. Like, I don't know, when our parents were our age and there wasn't, like, the internet, there weren't all these things, and it was a much more concentrated news source. Like, what you knew is what people like your parents, your teachers want you to know. Like you knew what people want you to know. And now it's kind of, we see so many things, like no one even thinks about, like, I guess what we learn. And you could argue that that was better, but I think that the argument is actually that it was more controlled. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's, yeah, like I said, plus sides and bad sides to being exposed to large topics and not. But I also think that it's not something you realize a lot of the time. Like, I didn't think about any of this stuff until I just, like, chose this topic because I was like, oh, that seems interesting. And then I started thinking, like, oh, my God, this is actually, like, everywhere. And I think that not all of us realize.
Yeah.
This topic. I don't want to, like, build myself up too much. Like, oh, I awoke you to the light. But, I didn't think about any of this until, like, now.
Your topic also kind of connects to mine a little bit, because I'm looking at, you know, politics and social media and how they're perceived by, you know, a generally, like, younger audience and how it's impacted. And, and then I also, of course, got into your topic a little bit naturally, because they really just connect. And I'm also surprised about how prominent it is in our generation and in our society, like how big of an issue it actually is. And how it's not, and I was also surprised, but how big of an issue it could be in comparison to the degree of which we discuss it. Because we discuss it almost zero to none.
Yeah, and I think that that's because it's also, like, a very recent situation we're in. Like, with the internet and with, like, social media and stuff, like, that's quite recent. And we don't necessarily know how to handle that yet. And I think that's where people haven't looked at it. So you could say that the reason this generation is so kind of, like, there's, like, a trend of being stressed out and disorganized and just, like, hurting all the time and always, like, worried about everything. You could argue that that's because we're exposed to too many things and stressing us out. And I would say that that is kind of true, at least from what I can see. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't learn about things. It means that we should learn about things in the right way. Mm-hmm. Because most of what we learn now is from people online who we don't know and who we don't even know if we can trust, and we just hear so many different versions of things that we don't understand how to make our own view of anything. And you know, yeah, we went to this thing, this bridge building thing, where it's our last year at the school, as we said, and we, like, go to different schools to see where we want to go afterwards. And one of the classes we, like, tried out was called Theory of Knowledge. And in that one, they talked about how it's kind of a class about understanding how to divide information from bad information, like how to form your own understanding of what the truth is. And I remember sitting there and being like, I don't actually believe in anything. Like, that's kind of my thing. I don't fully believe any version of events to be true. Like, I can doubt everything. And that's just because, like, I hear so many different versions of one thing that I just kind of learned to not believe anything. And in a way, I think that's good, like, to have a certain air of doubt to, you know, understand that you can't just believe the first thing you hear. But it's also very hard for me to have an opinion on anything. There are certain things, it's like, yeah, it's very, very, some things are just bad. Like, we know that. And then you can be like, yeah, that's bad. I'm sorry, there's no defense. That's just bad. But there's other things where it's like, I don't know if this is good or bad. I don't know if this is right or wrong. I don't know what's going on anymore. And because of that, I think, like, I'm probably not going to be as much, I'm not going to have as much initiative, probably, I'm 15, and yeah, sure, it'll change. But as, like, if we froze me in time right now and, like, took me as an archetype of this generation, much less likely to take initiative as, like, people from 20 years ago. And there are people, there are kids, especially now. Like, if you, a lot of the, like, maybe not a lot, but, like, there are activists, like, now who are, like, 16,
mm-hmm.
about, like, huge world topics, and, like, I don't think that's really been happening before now. And I think that's also probably a lot due to the large topics that we're exposed to, because now they know this stuff earlier on. So I do think you can look at it so many different ways. There's so many different things. It just keeps adding on. But I think if you feel like you're so overwhelmed with all this information and all this stuff in the world, you step back and you're like, I can't do this anymore. You just try to focus on yourself. And I think that's another thing that goes into the whole trend of being on your own. It's the fact that there's so much going on that you can't even handle your own things anymore. You just give up on handling everything else. And that's, I think, the very, very toxic other side of this. If you are not properly introduced to things and gradually taught, then you are just going to fall apart at some point. And that's definitely not like a given, but I think there's kind of like a crash in the mental space of a lot of people now, because we don't know how to like take in information anymore. And maybe it's like overreacting a bit, but I actually don't think I'm overreacting like at all when I say this, because I also think that, you know, it's just a lot of things come from how we're taught things, and we don't always realize that, but I think that's just like the main thing here. We need to really look at how we show kids things, developing people, how we introduce things to them. And because, yeah, like a lot of the things now are so new and they're so changing, like there's so many different forms of like media now that's so hard to like count. But like if you're a parent and you're hearing this, I would just, I guess, say to really, I guess, just talk to your kids. Okay, that sounds like, that's not mind-blowing advice at all, but I would just say that I think, like, as someone who is 15 and who is kind of the main, like, I guess, like, the generation everyone's looking at now and going, there's something wrong with them, I would just say that I think there is, in a sense, something wrong, and that's that we don't understand what's going on anymore. And I think it's important that, you know, we learn how to separate things from each other, and that's not something that we learn how to really do. I would say it's something you kind of maybe pick up on eventually, but I would just say that we should encourage that more, to just like look at things and be like, okay, what do I think is the truth? What do I think I stand on this? What do I understand? What do I want to build from this? Because like I said, a lot of the things that we hear about now, like, yeah, politics, economics, money, war, we don't understand a lot of it. And if you do, it's a lot. Like when we're in class and it's like, you know, homeroom, like before class starts, and they're like, okay, let's talk about the news, what's going on in this country. And then there are the people who are like, I have no idea. It's just, I've heard like five different stories and they're all different. And there's people who are like, I know exactly what happened, let me tell you. And those people seem fine. Like, on average, like, those people seem like they're more together than people who don't know what's going on, which could show you the opposite thing, that, like, knowing more helps, but maybe it doesn't. It's so up in the air. But basically, yeah, that's it. Like, yeah. We really have to get on top of how we... This is, like, a very, very long way of saying when definitely matters, but especially now it's become so unpredictable. When is. It's very hard to control, I think, now when, like, a child learns about something. So I think that right now the focus should be, like, I just, like, opened this topic with when, and now that we're at the end, I'm just basically saying when is important, but I also think it's much less reliable than how. Because you cannot control the when, I think, of when your kids will learn about something, but you can definitely curve the how. Like, when they know something, you can definitely sit down with them and talk, and that's something that should be, I think, the main takeaway from here. Like, you can, like, please form your own opinion on what you think, because that's like the best way to, that's kind of like a tying it all together, like take a takeaway.
Yeah.
But prioritize communication with people, because that's how we're going to succeed. That's not weird. That's how we will succeed as humanity. But yeah, that's how we progress. That's how we will succeed. And yeah, and I think that's something we need to definitely work on. I didn't want this to become like a whole generational thing. Like, I really didn't want to do that, because I think everyone, I also think that it goes too far. Like, a lot of adults or parents go like blame everything on social media, which is weird. Like, I saw this like meme or something that was like, someone goes, oh, my stomach hurts, parent, it's because you spend all that time on your phone. What? Mm-hmm. That's actually weirdly relatable, when it's like anytime you're like if there's anything wrong with you, like, I'm sad, or, my foot hurts. It's because you spend all that time on your phone. It's like, what's happening? Yeah. And the weird thing is, I think a lot of things that shouldn't be blamed on social media are, and a lot of things that should be blamed aren't. Like, I think this whole thing can be blamed on, not even blamed, but I think all this whole thing can be definitely
attributed to
and correlating with the media and how kids are now such a big part of it.
Also, the argument, your generation is so sensitive. I think whenever I try to have a discussion with my parents about, like, a broader or more, like, abstract topic, that's always the thing they hit back with. Ugh, your generation is so sensitive.
Yeah, I think, and weirdly, I think that, especially people now, or, like, teens now, are much more willing to discuss things that adults aren't. And I'm not trying to, like, shame the adults in any way. I'm just also saying that I think because it's such a, and I think that's the good takeaway from all of this, that, like, you can see a lot of really young people standing up for things that are right, very young, that other people have been too scared to talk about because of how much they've seen and learned about when they were younger. So that's a good side. I think we're seeing a lot of the results that we talked about. Like, in the second episode, we talked about, like, oh, these are two ways that maybe things could happen. And I think we're actually seeing a lot of those results now. We're seeing a lot of, on the bad side, this, like, trendy, like, emo-ness. Like, I'm not saying being emo is bad, because emo is just kind of a different thing. But I think we're seeing much more of this, like, it's become, like, a trend to be, like, heartless or, like, numb. Like, it's become a thing. It's like, I don't feel anything. I'm so cool. And it's like, on one hand, like there are people who actually, like, have problems with, like, processing emotions and stuff, and that should be actually focused on. But then there are people who just think it's, like, cool to not feel things properly. It's become, like, a trend for some reason, and I get it because, you know, I do see the logic. Like, sometimes there are times when it's, like, everyone acts like they're so numb. It's, like, you kind of want to jump in on it. You're, like, and that's, I think, a bad side because we're maybe not prioritizing, but glamorizing carelessness to each other. And it can be tempting, like, especially at this age where it's, like, you're thinking so much about yourself. Like you said, like, identity is such a big, like, point of contention now. It's like, who am I? What's going on? That you just want to focus on yourself. And, like, that's quite normal. And that's one thing. But the other is to, like, you glamorize not caring about the world or about humanity or about other people. And especially this, like, whole, like, humans should just, like, die thing. Like, that's become also a trend. Like, people just think we should all just, like, die, and, like, that would be better. And I think we should not die. We should improve. And that's, like, I think, a very clear bad side, and we can see it happening now. And on the other side, we can see a lot of people standing up for things and being able to discuss much broader things at a much younger age than I think generations who came before. And you can see a lot of the results happening now. And I think that's a good thing. But we also just need to...
Yeah. I agree. And I think maybe this generation should also, and just people in general should also appreciate how society has progressed throughout time. I mean, of course, there are a lot of negative things with society, but, you know, I think that people sometimes take for granted how well we have it sometimes. I mean, maybe not when it comes to, like, certain things, but the fact that, like, we even have technology to begin with, or, you know, that we even have the room and we have the ability to complain about our emotions or our feelings, or without, because, you know, go back to the 50s, if you said anything about how you were feeling sad or bad or bored or tired or angry, that wouldn't have been received very well.
Yeah, exactly. There are certain things that we don't realize, I think. I think that we don't realize some things that we have very well. But I also think that other people don't realize how certain things are not so great right now, or how things have changed. Because a lot of times people go, everything you're feeling, every teenager ever has felt before you. And I think that in its core, that is true.
Yeah.
because like biologically, like we are all built the same. Like there's like all the hormones and stuff that kind of get to this point and yada yada. Yeah, like at its very core, I think teenagers throughout all the years of humanity are kind of in like the same headspace. But if you compare like people from like, I don't know, who were teens in the 80s with like the first teenagers ever to exist on Earth, you would say that there's definitely a difference there.
Yeah.
Because the environment that we're in very much has an effect on us. So I think that in its core, we are all very similar. But the world is changing so much that we need to understand that sometimes you need to look at the people who are developing and growing now and be like, how can we help? What can we do? Because this world is changing and we need to help them change. Like it's hard to raise people in like an outdated way when the world is so new now. And I think that the main thing is to just realize that and try to work from there and talk about it. And yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's everything we kind of want to get to today. That was the last episode. Do you want to do a name reveal? I don't know if we want to do that.
Oh, yes. Drum roll, please. My name is Ella.
Plot twist. Mind blown.
Oh, my gosh.
I quite like Marge. That was actually...
I know. I think I should change my name to Marge.
I think legally you can do that. Yeah, I think that...
I think I will.
I think if there's a takeaway, it should be what we just discussed now.
Yeah.
And then second place, Ella or Marge. What's the better name?
Yeah, that's find out next time on
season 2, a limited series on HBO. No. Yeah, okay.
But again, thank you so much for having me on this podcast. It was a pleasure. I love discussing these things. It's also, can I just say, I think we should give Alexandra a round of applause because she's also helped me a lot when thinking about my personal project. And I think she did a really good job on getting a good overview and, you know, looking at all the different perspectives on this topic. So, yeah.
Thank you very much, Marge/Ella. Marella, let's go with that. Yeah, okay. So everyone, if you've listened to all of this, thank you so much because this is my project. It's a very big part of my grade. So that's true. But I honestly just also really think this is an interesting topic and I really want to talk about it. And like, I have like so many thoughts as we all do and I just kind of want to get them out. So if you listen to all of them and all my rambling, especially since I think of this episode had some not so great, voice quality because we're on a Teams meeting. If you stuck through all of this, thank you so much. I really hope that there were some takeaways from this. And if not, then I hope you at least enjoyed some of it or like something. But yeah, thank you so much. Anyone who like sat here and listened to all of this, thank you, Marella, for sitting through all of this with me and like just listening to me ramble and being very insightful with your additional points. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. Just thank you. It's been weird to do this, like, but I had a lot of fun, actually. I thought I would be very stressed out, which I was, but it was also a lot of fun, so thank you very much. Yeah, so that, I think, is it. Final goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.
And we are out.